working on a series called Committed to Another Cause. Part one, we answered three questions, or we saw three things. A godly leader, part one, is a humble person who prays and studies his Bible. Part two, we looked at a divine appointment, and we answered these four questions. Number one, what was the object of Nehemiah's prayer? What other prayer did Nehemiah pray? Number three, what was Nehemiah's occupation? And number four, what was Nehemiah's intentions? And then we looked at part three, and we answered four more questions. Number one, why did the king let Nehemiah go? Number two, what did Nehemiah ask for? Number three, what did Nehemiah find when he got back there? And number four, what did Nehemiah do? And now today, here is a map of Israel at the time of Nehemiah. Now, it's not the greatest, but look, this is what they were working with. This is what it had been, but it wasn't anymore. Here is the Valley Gate where Nehemiah rode the horse out, came along the wall here, went all the way to the water gate. His way was blocked by all the rubble, and he came back, he went in here, and then he announced his intention. And notice what it said here. When he announced his intention, we find in Nehemiah the 3rd chapter, verse 20. Everyone turn there, if you would, with me. The last verse of the 2nd chapter, which we covered in part number 3. And notice what it said when he told them why he had come and what he was going to do. Do you have verse 20? Children, open your Bibles, because we're shortly going to be reading chapter 4. By the way, it isn't 3 verse 20, it's 2 verse 20. Forgive me, it's 2 verse 20. Part 3, we cover chapter 2. And look at the last verse. Look what it says. And I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and we will build. But you have no heritage or no right or memorial in Jerusalem. And so, folks, they began to build. And I want to start part 4, which is called Beware of Unconsecrated Elements. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father in heaven, my heart is leaping with joy as I saw our church discussed on national news in an appropriate way, Lord, a positive way. And now, Father, we got to face up to the repercussions. So while we rejoice, prepare us to be ready for the backlash. And Lord, help everyone here to know you so well that when anybody asks them a question of why they believe what they believe, they will be able to answer, even as elegantly as Elder Alex Bryant. Lord, present these 4 points simply, understandably, and then bring them to our heart and mind that we would apply them in our lives. So blessed to this end, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Nehemiah 4. I presume you still have your Bibles open. All right, I'm starting with verse number 1. By the way, verse 20 I read to you, they started to work. Now, if you read all of chapter 3, it tells who built what part of the wall and how long it took and everything. In fact, I numbered the names there. There's 42 references to groups that worked on a separate part of the wall to build it back. Now we move to chapter 4 and look what it says. But it so happened when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him and said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break it down. He will break down their stone walls." And then verse 6. "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sambalat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion." And so, my friends, point number one, wherever God is working, there is opposition. We've got to come to understand that. Why? Because the opposition by the enemy is to get us to do what? Stop working. Yeah. There is always going to be opposition. Take a look at this if you would. Number one, you saw the name Sambalat. We actually had this in the second part of the series. Sambalat was the leader of Samaria. That's to the north of Judah. Tobiah, the Ammonites, are east of Judah. Geshem and the Arabs are the south of Judah. And the Ashdodites are to the west. Now, what does that put Judah? Right in the bullseye, doesn't it? They are surrounded by their enemies. And Satan did everything he could to stir them up, folks. And they used intimidation and ridicule. They used division and dissension. And they used the threat of physical violence. We got a work to do in this church. And I want you to know, if we get to it, even more than we are now, there'll be opposition. And the opposition will be intimidation and ridicule. It will be division and dissension among us, trying to cause division and dissension. You got to read these chapters. They're incredible, the story. And also, the threat of physical violence. Of course, we Adventists know all about that. Not because we receive the violence so much as the fact we know that it's coming. And so when I look at that video, I rejoice that the name of Seventh-day Adventists have come to the forefront. Now we have a chance to, in a tasteful way, present who we are instead of somebody else saying who we are. But you can bet there's going to be opposition to it. Because in Nehemiah's day, when he marched in there, I'm telling you, the surrounding enemies were not going, "Oh, we're glad you're here, Nehemiah. Praise the Lord." And they began to organize. And they began to plan and strategize. And then they began to send out messages and thoughts in order to intimidate, to ridicule, to divide, to cause dissension, and even the threat of physical violence. But there's a number two, folks. The number two is this. The opposition is also on the inside. This is the most horrifying point of this sermon to me. The opposition isn't only on the outside, it's on the inside. Let's look at verse 10 through 12. Check this out. We already looked at Sambalat. We looked at Tobiah. By the way, the word Tobiah is a Hebrew name, and he was the leader of the country of Ammon, which was a heathen country. He had a Hebrew name. He didn't have a Hebrew name because he thought it'd be cool to be an Ammonite with a Hebrew name. He had a Hebrew name because he was Hebrew. He was leading the Ammonites. So not only did we have them, not only did we have Jeshem and the Arabs, and not only did we have the Ashdodites, but folks, there were people inside the walls of the city working against those who were committed to the work of God. This is very sobering. We can look into any church community, and you know there's always been detractors. Check this out, 10. Then Judah said, and I love this. I thought to myself, you know, we've got Sambalat, we got Tobiah, we got Jeshem, but when it comes to insight, it says, then Judah said. And it isn't because one of the leaders' name was Judah. He's talking about the community of believers. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the walls. So what is one of the strong doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? We believe that God created in six literal 24-hour periods. He isn't strong enough to build walls. Give me a break. And when the people start hearing the complaining, it begins to cause dissension. It begins to cause people to wonder. It begins people to question and doubt. By the way, I just thank God for leaders like Nehemiah, because he didn't let that bother him. He just kept telling them the other story. What did Judah say? Judah said, oh, we can't do this. That's too big a project. How in the world are we ever going to get enough money? We can't do this. And by the way, remember, the key here is that God told Nehemiah to go back there and build that wall, right? And once you decide what God wants you to do, He'll provide. Inside the wall, there's trouble, folks. Verse number 11, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come in the midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. And verse 12, so it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us, look at this, 10 times. From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Man, they're going to get us. We just better stop doing this. They're getting really mad out there. Look what he said. He's trying to help our minds to understand what we're reading. Not once, not twice, not three times. How many times? Repeated over and over again. Oh man, they're coming to get us. Well, look, at maybe we should just sit back for a little while and let things cool down. Let's see what Nehemiah did. Because it's really true. Look at this. Satan takes advantage of every unconsecrated element in the accomplishment of his purpose. Unconsecrated element. Among those who profess to be the supporters of God's cause, there are those who unite with his enemies and thus lay his cause open to the attack of his bitterest foes. Even some who desire the work of God to prosper will yet weaken the hand of his servants by hearing, reporting, and half believing the slanderers' boasts and menaces of these adversaries. Satan works with marvelous success through his agents, and all who yield to their influence are subject to a bewitching power that destroys the wisdom of the wise and the understanding of the prudent. Beware of unconsecrated elements. And so why do we even talk about this, by the way, as I go on to point number three? I'll tell you why. Because don't be surprised when we begin to really get down to what God wants us to do in this area. And I'll tell you, number one, He wants us to take care of our kids. Yeah, if we lose them, then why in the world are we reaching the community? Number two, we got to reach the community. And when we do, I want you to remember this quote. I want you to remember there's opposition outside and there's opposition inside. And by the way, the inside opposition, some of the people are really sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And we cannot let that detract us from what we prayerfully decide is the mission or direction that God wants us to go. But get ready, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition. By the way, you receive opposition. Sabbath morning. Oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I'm tired. I had a hard week. Daddy, come on, we got to go to Sabbath school. Be quiet, I want to sleep a little longer. The phone rings. Hey, Charlie, we got a problem down at work. That happens to every one of us, some form, some way. I remember when Jenny and I were young and we had two little babies, we'd fight every Sabbath morning. I'm really ashamed of that, folks. I think I'm the perpetrator. I was always thinking of the church. I had to get to the church. I had to preach. She had two little kids and I was like oblivious to her situation. And so Satan would rile me up to rile her up, get the kids upset. We come to church and we go, hello, how are you? And I'm ashamed. I'm horrified. I'm ashamed. My poor wife, she stayed with me. I praise her. He works on us, folks. He opposes us. He doesn't want us to do what we're doing. And I wish I was mature enough somehow to have done it in the right way. Honor my wife while I honored my church. So get ready. The opposition's coming. But what's really hardest to take is when the opposition is on the inside. I promise you, that really hurts. Number three, I'm almost done. The only solution is to what, folks? Yeah, continue to work and pray. Man, this is exciting. I got chills again. Take a look, if you would, at verse 4. Look at what it says here. Now, you heard about Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Ashdodites, the Arabs. Okay, and then here's what it says, verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads. give them as plunder to a land of captivity. I guess that's a righteous way of saying, get rid of them, Lord. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sins be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. And then take a look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. And now 13 and 14. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower part of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and I arose and I said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Amen. The only solution is continue to pray and continue to work. We cannot allow the opposition to stop us. Now, if we don't pray and we start doing a project that God doesn't want us to do, there might not even be any opposition. Right? If we're not supposed to do it. But if it's God's will, there will be. And the only answer is to keep working and keep praying. And notice, boy, you know, we're not done with the series on Nehemiah. You need to count the number of times prayer is referenced in this story. Nehemiah prayed all the time. And finally, number 4, we must work tirelessly day and night. Take a look at Nehemiah 4:21. So we labored in the work. And half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and working party by day. Then Nehemiah said this, so neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. For washing. We got to work tirelessly. You know, those of you who can't work by day, then pray by night. And those of you that can't work at night, pray by day. Because those that can come and work, they need support. And notice that they had in one hand the sword, in the other hand the tool. And together, those two things, they built those walls. And so, folks, beware of unconsecrated elements. But don't be surprised. Here's Isaac Newton. You know, he made the laws of thermodynamics. Am I right, by the way? And what's the third law of thermodynamics? What's the third law? Anybody know? I know you know. You might be afraid to death to say something. What was that? What does that? Well, you know, that's pretty good. What goes up comes down. Excuse me. The third law is, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, this is physicist. This Isaac Newton was a physicist. And I'm going to stretch his saying just a little bit. Let me illustrate so you can see, folks. I don't suppose you can read the binding of that book, can you? The Origin of Species. Who wrote that? Charles Darwin. And what is that? The seventh day, the bulletin. The Seventh-day Adventist Church. When did Charles Darwin publish his book on evolution? Do you know the year? 18 what? I think I heard somebody say it. Anybody say 1859? 1859, yes, somebody said it. Folks, look at when the Seventh-day Adventist Church organized. What's the relationship here? Satan ahead of time prepared the people to defeat this small group of weak and few in numbered individuals who were going to present the concept called the Sabbath, which honors God as the Creator in six literal days. And so some 4 or 5 or 4.5 years before our church organized officially, Satan had his book published. By the way, if this goes out on the internet and I ever run for office, they're going to throw that at me, that I called Satan wrote the book Origin of Species. Man, you can't say anything anymore without getting it thrown back in your face. Folks, this is no coincidence. You know what? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, here's where his physical law falls down spiritually. For the opposition is not equal to the action, because God is more powerful than Satan. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we ponder these points, as our church moves forward to do what you want us to do. And by the way, we're in the process of trying to determine that, Lord. We've got to keep our children safe, first and foremost. And Lord, children are open to the gospel, so let's read the community kids. They're willing to listen where parents aren't always willing. So please help us, Lord, to remember that, not to get afraid or doubting if we approach something and opposition arises. For we clearly see the only solution is to pray and to keep working. Lord, let there be decisions made in this sanctuary right now. In fact, Lord, from my experience, you may say something to us or each one of us that is completely different from the subject, but it's to the point of who we are with you. Please help us to respond positively no matter what that message from you is, and help us now to live it so that we can show to the world the character of God. And I must say, exactly the way Ben Carson is showing his character, your character, to this country by the stands he's taking on the difficult issues that the politicians don't want to touch. So bless us as we plan and move forward. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.